As we continue our study in Colossians, we're going to finish out chapter 3 today and talking about really managing ourselves as people and keeping ourselves under the submission to the Holy Spirit, keeping ourselves under the submission to Christ alone. And as we've been looking at in this whole book of Colossians, and maybe you've not been with us, and we've had quite a few weeks off from the study in Colossians. So just by way of reminder, Colossians is about the preeminence of Christ. It's about putting Christ first in all things, whether it be in your job, whether it be in your philosophy, whether it be in your marriages, your parenting, whatever it is, to put Christ first is the most important thing. And so in chapter 3, the message really is about submission to Christ. That word is something we don't like to hear. We don't like to do. Submission. Submitting to anybody is hard. Submitting when it's more difficult is even harder, right? And so all the time we are faced with opportunities to submit. And what we're getting into today is in various areas of our lives and in various circumstances or positions that we might be in, we are constantly challenged to submit. The word submit means it's the action or fact of accepting or yielding to a superior force or the will or authority of another person. Something in submission that we often get confused about is like, well, I don't care, I'll just submit to you. If you don't care, it's not submission, right? Submission is when, well, my opinion differs from your opinion, but because God has placed you in authority over me, I'm going to submit regardless. And it doesn't always mean we're not putting up a little fight, right? We do that. We have differences of opinions and we put up a fight sometimes. But ultimate submission comes down to, okay, not my will, but your will. Jesus, and remember, that's what we're all about in Colossians. Christ being the center. Jesus gave the greatest example in submission because Jesus died on the cross. Jesus came to earth. This is God who became man, and he submitted, as Philippians tell us, he submitted himself to death, even the death of the cross. Even the death of the cross is really giving the example that he even died a criminal's death. Why? Because he was submitted to the will of the Father. In the Garden of Gethsemane, we see Jesus really pleading with God and praying and saying, God, if there is any other way that man would be saved, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Let me not go to the cross. Let me not die. If there's any other way. Nevertheless, he says it three times. He prays over and over and over. It tells us that he was sweating drops of blood. He was in this anguish and this stressful state. And in that, he says, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. You see, Jesus would have never gone to the cross if he was not submitted to the will of the Father. But yet he did plead with his Father. And so that brings us to Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. It says, wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things. For this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. And so in our message today, we're going to look at the various different circumstances of submission, the various different positions that we are in as people. And so the first one we see there is marriage. Wives, submit to your husbands. We love it. Right, men? Amen. It doesn't end there. Sorry, guys. There is a greater responsibility even on you. But the first part there, for wives to submit to your own husbands, it says, as is fitting to the Lord. It's about submitting to the Lord. If you are submitted to the Lord, then you will be able to submit to your husband. If your husband is submitted to the Lord, you will find it much easier to submit to your husband. You don't have to turn with me, but I'm just going to read in Ephesians chapter 5. This is Paul, the same author. He's writing in Ephesians, and it gives a little more detail on what he's talking about here in marriage. It says in Ephesians 5, verse 22, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." This is a challenge laid out to us all, husbands, wives. It's a challenge of submission. You see, in verse 33, as it says, "Let a husband love his own wife as himself, and let a wife see that she respects her husband," that's what it comes down to, is this love and the respect. These are things that we are challenged to do, because what do women need is love. What do men need? It's respect. God designed us all this way. Sometimes we get frustrated with each other, right? You get frustrated with the differences that we have. Oh, if you would just understand. It's not possible to understand each other, right? The Bible says to dwell with your wife in understanding. I can't do it. Right? I don't understand, but that's the Bible is saying to dwell in an understanding way. You can't understand your wife, but you can be understanding of your wife. But you see, the hard thing for wives to do is to submit. And that's why God challenges. That's why he says, submit to your husbands. Because it's not easy. It's not easy for anybody to submit. Why? Because we have our opinions. Because we are prideful people, because we think we're pretty smart and we have things pretty well figured out. Listen, when it comes to marriage, I don't know that many of us would say, "I've got things pretty well figured out," right? We think we do, and then things start happening, and we're like, "Oh, I don't have it as well figured out as I once thought." But this is the challenge to wives, to submit to your own husbands. This is a hard thing for wives because, just like Eve, women are perhaps more comfortable in taking the lead in getting things done, when men are perhaps not getting things done. Husbands, it says, love your wives. You see, men, we have, as husbands, I believe, a greater challenge and responsibility, because it says, wives, submit to your husbands. So if our wives are submitted to us, then we have a greater responsibility before the Lord. We have a greater responsibility to lead, to be an example. And it says, and as it says in Ephesians, to wash them in the water of the word. The word of God, we know it to be living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So let's study. Let's read. Let's get into the word together. It's something that we perhaps don't do enough. Maybe you don't do it at all. You don't have to sit down and teach a Bible study to your wife. It's not telling you have to be a scholar who's able to teach and give a lecture or a sermon to your wife or to your family. That's not what it's saying. To be washing in the water of the word is to be cleansed by the word of God. And that cleansing is happening by doing it, reading, discussing it. You see, oftentimes this submission gets confused with being a doormat, doing what you're told. But that's not the heart of God. The heart of God is that we all walk in humility. It says, as to the Lord, as fitting to the Lord, as we're all submitted to the Lord. And for husbands to love your wives, it says in Ephesians, like Christ loved the church. This is the greater responsibility, to love your wife as Christ loved the church, is to what? Lay down your life. This is a sacrificial love. You see, it all comes back to Christ, because Christ loved the church. Christ loves unconditionally. Christ loves sacrificially, and Christ gave his life. And as Christ gave his life, it's an example to us in reading and learning how we love our wives. Problems in marriage occur when we are selfish. It's really simple. Most disagreements that me and my wife have, which are very, very few, of course, today, but most disagreements can be rooted back to pride. It can be rooted back to the fact that I have a point to prove, that I have something that I want to prove right, or I'm trying to justify myself for something that I did that was stupid, and I don't want to admit that it was stupid. Like, oh, no, I didn't mean that. Don't worry about it. I didn't mean to say it that way, right? You're misunderstanding me. Instead of just saying, I'm sorry, I was stupid. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. Listen, guys, this is perhaps some of the greatest discipleship for our children, is walking in humility and loving our wives sacrificially. So ultimately, we need to stop being selfish and stop trying to figure our wives out, but to love sacrificially. If loving our wives was about us, then we wouldn't be pointed back to Christ. You see, remember, Colossians is all about Jesus. It's all about Christ being first in our lives. And so Christ needs to be the center of our marriages. And remember, the key word today is submission. Husbands, you want your wives to submit to you? Submit to Christ. But really, there should be no ulterior motive. It shouldn't be in our minds like, oh man, my wife is not submitting to me, so what do I need to do? What's the formula? You know what? You submit to Christ. He's the formula. Because if we're submitted to Christ, we're not going to be worried about the ulterior motive. He needs to be the center. Wives, you want your husbands to love you? Submit to Christ. And don't get caught up in the crazy cycle. Because that's what we do sometimes. We get caught up in this crazy cycle. The crazy cycle is the idea of a washing machine that's off balance, right? It just, it's not working. Things are all shaking and going crazy. And then the new washing machines, they just shut off. It's unbelievable. Just wash the clothes. I don't care if it's making a loud noise. Just wash the clothes. They need clean clothes. But it just shuts down. It stops working when it's off balance. And that's what happens, the crazy cycle. It's out of balance. And we think that, well, my wife is not submitted to me, so I'm not going to love her sacrificially. And then the wives might say, well, my husband is not loving me sacrificially, so I'm not going to submit to him. I'm not going to respect him. And it's just back and forth. It's like pulling the opposite direction. And that balance is completely off. But if we're submitted to Christ, we'll see that cycle working properly. So he continues, verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. So we talk about marriage. Now let's talk about parenting. And some of you guys who are like, well, I'm not married, I don't have kids, don't worry, you're coming soon. Parenting. Children, any children in here, obey your parents. It's really simple. That's what the Bible tells you. Parents to their kids are like, yeah, ha, see, told you so. I'm not making it up. There it is. It's really simple. You know, like when parents, we're often like, when your kids are like, why do I have to do that? Because I told you so. It's right there. I'm not making it up. The Bible says it. I told you so, so you have to do it. This is great. The Bible is completely supporting me. And we could all think back to when we were kids. And we tell our kids the same thing, because I told you so, because that's what we heard when we were kids, right? But it ultimately, it comes down to submission. So kids, whether you're young or teenager in the room, whatever age you are, I know there's not many of you, obey your parents. Because why? Because it pleases God. You see, that's what submission is all about. It's about pleasing God. And as we read already, and as this passage closes out, it talks about being God pleasers and not man pleasers. So you want to please God. And that's something that I often tell my kids. They're like, why? Well, because I said so, but also because the Bible says so. And we're supposed to do what the Bible says because why? It pleases God. It's not just about pleasing me as a dad. And kids, remember that. You know, I think oftentimes there's kids that get their freedom, right? When they graduate high school, maybe they go off to college. And maybe you're one of those kids. You're like, I can't wait for that day. I'm going to do what I want and get away with it, you know? But oftentimes kids, they'll be out of high school, they'll go off to college, and like, I'm just going to do what I want now. Is that pleasing to God? Is that, and you're thinking, well, I don't have to obey my parents anymore because I'm not a kid anymore. Listen, parents, we're going to get into your responsibility, but kids, your responsibility is to please God, to submit to God. And this is pleasing to God, that you obey your parents. Now, verse 21, fathers. Interesting here, it doesn't talk about mothers. They got enough on their plate. Right? They have enough responsibility. They're like, we don't have to address you guys. You're working hard. You're doing great, right? We do have a response. You all have a responsibility. But you know what? There's a great responsibility for fathers. And far too often, we see mothers raising children and fathers are standing by. So guys, pay attention. Verse 21. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. What this is saying here is real simple, guys. Have patience and watch your temper. Because these are little tiny people that look at us guys for direction, and we can be very terrifying to them. It's true. We don't realize, you know, we're used to interacting with adults. We're used to interacting maybe at work with all different sorts of people, some that are really difficult to deal with. We might have to be a little more harsh sometimes, whatever, right? But with our kids, I have to learn this all the time. Gentleness. Do not provoke my children, lest they become discouraged. I've seen it happen before in my own life. I've seen the way that, you know, one of my kids does something, and I say, what are you doing? And they're just, their countenance, their head, just, oh man, they're discouraged. And that doesn't mean we're always like, attaboy, pat him on the back, and everything they do is wonderful and sparkly and it's great. You know, like, look, we're all sinners and we need to teach our kids that they're sinners. But not to provoke our children. Fathers, we have a great responsibility. Our greatest responsibility is to pay attention and to point them to Jesus. There is nothing greater that we can teach our children than Jesus Christ. And maybe you're sitting here, again, you're like, I don't have kids. One day, remember this. One day, when you have kids, remember this. Jesus is everything. And if we can teach our kids Jesus, and they are in love with him, then we win. We have succeeded as parents if they know Jesus, and they love Jesus, and they are submitted to Jesus. But they won't learn submission to Jesus if we are not submitted to Christ. So, parents, take everything as an opportunity to disciple your children. Let's not get so caught up in making our kid the next superstar athlete or Nobel Peace Prize winner. But let's raise kids who are in love with Jesus and committed to his kingdom. That's how we truly can change the world. So the key to parenting, ready? I have it. Jesus. Oh, man, I thought it would be better. I thought it would be more. But guess what? Nothing's better, right? We know that to be true. But yet we're often looking in so many places. Jesus is the answer. We need to submit. Christ needs to be the center of our marriages. Christ needs to be the center of our parenting. He needs to be the center of our home. Here's the bottom line. they're his children. Our kids, he's entrusted to us. And like I said before, you know, he's entrusted them to us to make decisions for them. And whether or not you send them to public school, Christian school, Catholic school, homeschool, whatever it is, the bottom line is this. You need to pray and you need to seek the Lord for what's right for your family. If you are submitted to Christ, guess what? You know how to raise your kids. If you're submitted to Christ, you know how to manage your home. But we have to remember this. They're his children that he's just entrusted to us for a little while. There's a great quote by Paul Tripp in his book. He says, "Good parenting, which does what God intends it to do, begins with this radical and humbling recognition that our children don't actually belong to us." That's the heart of Christ-centered parenting and submission to Christ. Not my will, but God's. So further, we continue in verse 22. "Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men." Okay, so now we're starting to get into the rest of us, right? If you're not married, you don't have kids, you might be wondering, where do I fit in? Here you go. You're a bondservant. Congratulations. We all are, right? Because we're bondservants of Jesus Christ. A bondservant is a slave by choice. And we can really look at us as Christians that we are serving God. We're servants of the Lord by choice because we are Christians. We're believers in Jesus Christ. But how about even further we take that into being a bondservant in a slave by choice is how about our jobs? Because ultimately we're a slave by choice and we're getting compensation for it. Maybe you feel like you're a slave sometimes in your job, but really we're talking about an employee. That's what this would equate to today. A bondservant is in equation to an employee. So you have a job, this is for you. And you might think, well, look, I'm not married, I don't have kids, I don't have a job. Well, get a job. Right? Let's work on this. But here, look, the bottom line is it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what position you're in. Because we can all apply this to ourselves, and we need to submit to Christ. Ultimately, as Christians, we are all bondservants. And this addresses the key to real submission. It's unto the Lord. It says, not as man-pleasers. It's not with eye service, right? And so people could be watching, like, look at me, I'm a good worker. And then the boss walks away, and you're like, man, I hate this job. This is the worst. We've all done it, right? Oh, the boss come in. Oh, let me get hurry up. It looked like I'm doing something valuable here. But that's not submission to the Lord. That's submission to our boss, which is important. It says, obey in all things your master according to the flesh, but you're not doing it for the paycheck. You're not doing it for your boss. You're doing it for the glory of God. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. This is the key to submission to Christ. It's not submission to other people. That doesn't mean we're unsubmitted. I know it's kind of crazy, right? We're going round and round. If we are submitted to Christ, these things will be natural. Because what we read in Matthew, it says, they will see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. So whatever position we're in, whether we hate our job or love our job, whatever we're doing, we do heartily as to the Lord and not to men. If we are just about submission to men, we are man-pleasers. If we're just about getting the job done and getting that paycheck and submitting to the paycheck, then we're man-pleasers. But to be a God-pleaser is to be fully submitted to him. And that's what's pleasing to him. It's not out of obligation. It's not for recognition. This is what I think really digs deep in us. Submission is just completely taking down our pride. It's taking down our pride. It's us coming to a place of admitting that we don't actually have all the answers. And we need help. And so we go through all this. We're talking about submission in our homes, in our marriages, our families, our jobs. But why? Why? Verse 24 says, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward. Listen, no paycheck is better than what God has to offer. There's no man and there's no thing on this earth that is better than what God has to offer. And that's why we should be submitted to Him alone. That's why we need to humble ourselves and recognize we need Him so desperately. Because from Him comes the great reward, an inheritance, heavenly inheritance. Wages are sometimes pretty good, right? The treatment maybe is not so good. But doing it unto the Lord in submission to Him gives us the eternal perspective and that we are bringing Him glory. Because this is not our home. As believers in Jesus Christ, our home is heaven. Our inheritance is eternity. And so everything we do here really should be about building His kingdom, our home, our eternity. We've heard it said many times, you're not going to see a hearse pulling a U-Haul. You can't take this with you, but submission to God brings us to that heavenly inheritance because we serve Him. And so lastly, in chapter 4, verse 1, we finish, masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. This sums it up really well, because listen, if you're in all these positions, if you're married, you know that it takes submission, right? You know that, man, I need to learn and humble myself. If you're a parent, you've figured out by now, I need to learn and humble myself, right? This, daily, these are things that you can't have all the answers. So you need to humble yourself and learn and grow in the Lord and submit to the Lord. As an employee, you're like, man, I have to do what I'm told, right? So this is the reality. But here's the thing. Just in case you think you've arrived, the last section, masters. Maybe you're in that position, like, man, everybody works for me. I'm the master of my house. I'm the master of my marriage. I'm the master of my job. Guess what? You serve a master in heaven. And He can humble you in an instant. So let's humble ourselves first so we don't have to come to the place of God humbling us. Bosses, leaders, overseers, treat those under you justly and fairly is what it's saying because you have a master in heaven. Just when you thought you had something to be proud of or you've arrived at the place where you don't have to submit to anyone, submit to Christ. Because from Him comes the great reward. It all comes down to submission. And submission all comes down to humility. And humility comes down to recognizing our place and that we don't have it all figured out. We don't have all the answers. And these are just some of the regular day-to-day things that, of course, all bring a lot of stress into our lives, right? Marriages, kids, jobs, employees, all these things can bring stress at times. It presses us. That's what we have to remember. When we are pressed, we need to submit. And it really all starts with surrender to Christ. Whatever position we are in, we need to submit to Christ. We need to humble ourselves, knowing that He is superior and we need Him. Remember, that's where we started, and I gave that definition of submission. The action or fact of accepting or yielding to a superior force or the will or authority of another person. Christ is preeminent. Christ is superior. That's really what the word is. And it all comes back to a surrender.